Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 7th of February, recording at 9:08 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. This has been a somewhat scary day here in the markets, particularly in precious metals, and that's spilled over into other metals. We also saw another big downward day in the oil price. It was down around $2 at one point. That many investors will be heartened by that reaction. And we also saw, although not people in the S&P, because we saw the S&P 500 index break its January reaction low in here today. So let me go back and start with the stock market cycle. And you know my views. This rally is very long in the tooth, 34 months. It's very unusual for markets to go that long without a correction of at least 10%, and sometimes a good deal more. And there's a fair amount to worry about. Corporate profits, okay, they don't have to worry about the oil price. It's not cheap, but it has been coming off the highs. But there is gravity. That concerns me as much as anything else. Then U.S. interest rates are still rising, and that creates a headwind. It looks as if we're likely to see at least another 25 to 50 basis points on the upside, unless we really do see stock markets unravel fairly quickly in here. My own view is that stock markets are increasingly vulnerable. Again, we have not had conclusive evidence of trend change, interruption in these medium-term trends that we've seen on the upside. But of course, you don't get conclusive evidence until you're well off the highs. And I've seen enough here for me to restructure my trading portfolio rather substantially. I've got no real interest in touching the investment portfolio. But first, you know how nervous I've been in the last few days here, and I think I said in last night's audio that I was fighting the temptation to close down a lot of positions. Well, I shouldn't have fought so hard, because it would have made a great deal of sense, would have been nice and timely to close down a number of speculative metal positions last night. But the market started to do this for me, with stops being hit in silver. This is all detailed, of course, in comment of the day, which I haven't posted yet, but will hopefully complete and post shortly. But stops hit in the money stops, these were fortunately, in silver, and then palladium, and then what was it? Gold. And after that, I began to worry about the possibility of a cascade effect in other markets. So I took the profit in MLW, and that may worry some subscribers in here. I like that share very much for the long term. I like all the positions I've just mentioned very much for the long term, but I was holding leveraged spread bet positions there, and with leverage I have to pay particular attention to the timing. Nothing has gone wrong with the chart of MLW, unlike the precious metals, which all had downward dynamics in here today. But MLW has had an awfully good run. In selling the position, I noticed that it was particularly well bid. It would have been much harder for me to have added a similar sized position, in other words, to have bought the equivalent of the position that I was already holding without driving the price up quite a bit. But the market certainly took my sell orders without any indigestion. So that closed out my largest speculative position overall. That's a safety precaution generally, and I will certainly be going back into MLW again at some stage. But again, I wanted to reduce risk exposure in here today. I then similarly sold the Inco. There were six positions in all. Have I covered them? Silver, palladium, gold, they were all stopped out. Then the MLW and copper. I also sold my copper position because that had done awfully well, and I thought and it was starting to come down. I think it was off 3 cents at the time, and I thought, no, this could easily get dragged down. So I wondered if markets were susceptible to one of those rare but eyebrow-raising events, one of those sort of all-change events when either due to some sort of metaphorical bolt from the blue, or sometimes as a catalyst. I'm not aware of any catalyst in here, although I'll leave it to the press to attach labels tomorrow. But where you kind of get an all change, where perceptions as far as speculative positions are concerned turn from the glasses half full to half empty, and people decide to raise cash, so they sell what they own that has been going up, and they buy back what they've shorted that has been going down, and you get a convulsive move in the market. Sometimes it doesn't last for very long, but it can have quite a dramatic short-term impact on sentiment. Also, very late in the day here, just before the close, that's just before 9 o'clock on Greenwich Mean Time here, Wall Street, just before Wall Street's close, I shorted the German DAX index and also the S&P. The German DAX trades right up till 9 o'clock, and I did that to give myself some hedge, give protection there, albeit asymmetrical hedge protection, for my investment portfolios. Okay, elsewhere, surprisingly, we also saw treasuries soft in here today. For instance, the US 30-year Treasury bond, now I think they commenced re-auctioning this today, but that's down 16/32. That's half a point on the futures contract right now. Wall Street closed out with some small gains, I beg your pardon, small declines. We were down 48.5 on the Dow, but the bigger percentage move was actually in the S&P this time, down 10.24 points, but 0.81 of a percentage point. Again, nothing heavy, but I have mentioned those January reaction lows as not be all and end all technical levels, but while markets were holding above them, you couldn't really say that they'd seen much loss of momentum. But once indices start to take out those January reaction lows, then we can certainly say that we've seen at least some loss of upward momentum and trend consistency. So I would expect a few more nervous days in the markets. I thought about buying the VIX index, which I wanted to do, as with all my trades, on a spread bet basis. But in the end, I decided against it because the liquid contract apparently is the May contract, and there's a huge contango that was trading at 147, whereas the spot market was trading at 133, and I wasn't willing to take on that kind of contango. So I instead shorted the S&P and the DAX, as I've just mentioned. I suspect we might see a test of nerves in Asia tomorrow morning. But having said that, some of those markets did extremely well, not least India, which punched up through the 10,000 level on the Sensex index. And some of you might have seen Deepak Lalwani, a really nice chap who I know, who writes the India report for Astera Research. You might have seen him on Bloomberg talking about it. The Nifty Indian Nifty Index also pushed above the 3,000 level, but it may struggle to hold those gains, certainly if we get any general selling pressure in Asia. And what else to mention in here? The US dollar was a little bit softer here today, but mixed, I suppose, generally mixed. I don't think this dollar rally that we have seen can last all that much longer. But I said it had seen a little bit of selling pressure, but looking at the dollar index, closed pretty well unchanged, down a fraction on the day. But I suspect that this rally will run out of momentum, if not at these levels, at slightly higher. But I don't expect the November high to be challenged. Now, what's my view going back to these metals here overall? You know how much I like this sector on a long-term basis. That's not going to change. What I say with leverage positions, I've got to pay close attention to the short-term timing. And they had both silver and gold, well, palladium, platinum, they'd all had very good runs in here recently. So we've seen a crack in that momentum. If we get some follow-through selling pressure, I'll start to think about opening up long positions once again. But after today's downward dynamics, I'm not in a rush to do that. So I don't have any buy orders in the markets near current levels. I have said on numerous occasions that when gold falls by anywhere, oh, say $30, $40, $50, that I regarded as a buying opportunity. I guess gold is perhaps $25 off the high. Spot gold here is trading at a little less than that, perhaps. Spot gold's trading after hours here at 548.80. But again, if it had been drifting down, that would be one I would feel a little bit happier about, say, going in tomorrow, but not after downward dynamics such as we've seen. I want to see how much follow through we actually get to those moves. And the oil price, should just review that again quickly. That has, again, from that key day reversal on the 1st of February, up near the Katrina highs, to repeat that point, that was a bearish signal reaffirming resistance up near the highs. So I think we're going to see a further test of underlying trading in here, and this does extend the medium-term correction that commenced with the Katrina highs. I maintain that crude is, along with all other industrial commodities, is in a secular bull market here, but I don't see that bull market being resumed here in the short term. Or I'll put it this way: we would need to see a clear upward dynamic, and I think that would take a news event, possibly a fairly stunning news event, to cause silver to rebound back up to those, I beg your pardon, oil to rebound back up to the Katrina highs, and the highs seen just a short while ago. I certainly expect that to happen later on this year, but as I say, not immediately, without some sort of dramatic catalyst. And we can all think of plenty of reasons why there might be a dramatic catalyst. Now, natural gas. I did hold on to that, and I explained why on this, partly on the basis that looks so overextended on the downside. And although I'm in no hurry to go back in and pick up the fourth unit that I had allocated to this particular trade, given the recent performance that we've seen, but I don't think there are a lot of longs to stop out of that position. And there may well be some clever shorts that are in the market who may decide that enough is enough, given the profit taking that's taking place in some other markets. But I know some of you have been caught up in the natural gas trade. I hope you had the profitable ones over the previous 2 years, but inevitably some will not have. But in terms of, someone had asked me about what would you do with a hedge position, I beg your pardon, a rollover position there. How would you, which, what contract month would you go for in rolling an expiring position forward? I don't think it makes a great deal of difference. I wouldn't go forward more than 2, possibly 3 months, myself, and I will almost certainly roll my positions forward. Now, we've got the cooler weather in the United States now, but of course we've got the build-up of inventories from the earlier very warm January period, and also at the first week of February, most of that warmth continued. So it may well take more time, but as I say, it does look extremely overstretched on the downside. And I don't want to run on too long. I think that's it, folks. So again, all the best.